Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Bread of Life, Faith and Works Community Church Lecture Series hosted by Pastor David Allman. God bless you all. We have a beautiful spring day today. And actually, over the next few days, it's going to be kind of really nice looking. What a blessing it is to be alive in this time, knowing all the things that are about to come upon the earth and the greatness of how God is going to show himself strong. Let's begin with a word of prayer and get started into our studies today in the book of Mishle, in the book of Proverbs. Heavenly Father, we come before you with a humble heart. We long to be continually in your presence, yet knowing that we must finish what you have called each one of us to do on the earth. Lord God, we ask you in the name of Jesus to forgive us of our sins, to wash us and cleanse us through the precious shed blood of Jesus, and restore us to you. Holy Spirit, we ask you to move in this time. Fill us with the anointing and the glory of the Father, and teach us the way of the wisdom and the knowledge of the Father and of the Son and of thee. By the authority given to us in the name of Jesus, I bind every unclean spirit and every part of the kingdom of darkness from interfering with this time. You are to be loosed and never to return again. You have no authority in this time, in Jesus' name. Guardian and ministering angels, go about your tasks that have been assigned to you. We release you to work your mighty works of the Father according to his plan in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. We are still in chapter 11 of the book of Mishle, the book of Proverbs. We are at verse 24. We are continuing to read from the English translation from the Hebrew. Verse 24 reads, "There is one who scatters, and more is added, while one who refrains from what is proper only for a loss." This is a very interesting verse. Why would one who scatters become more rich than before, while one who hoards, H-O-R-D-S, does not do anything but lose? Let's take several examples. A sower goes out to sow seed. He has but 100 kernels of corn. He sows the seed. He scatters it on the ground. Up pop 100 plants of corn. Each plant produces anywhere between 3 and 6 ears of corn. Each ear of corn produces a bare minimum of 100 kernels. One who scatters, much more is added. The one who does not trust banks takes their money and hides it in their mattress. And after about 20 years, now they need that money, and it has gone to dust and ashes. What great loss. But if they would have put it in the bank it would have gained interest. 20 years would have been worth more than the original amount. One who scatters the word of God is one who brings much more added to the kingdom of God. One who does not scatter the word of God does not bring no one into the kingdom of God. Does not Jesus command us to go out to the highways and the byways and to spread the word of God? Yes, he does. There are many aspects that we can consider ourselves in the one who scatters as the one who refrains. Our first quote of the day is combined by Rabbi Rashi and Rabbi Hirsch. The paragraph reads, "There is a case where people scatter money, yet even more is added to their fortunes. This is true of money given to a tzaddik." A tzaddik is a Torah scholar. Hoarded wealth does not make one rich, but money which is spent on pursuits pleasing in God's sight brings additional wealth. You can't outgive God. One aspect is to sow into missionaries, sow into other ministries, to sow into the church that you belong to sow your seeds of money. It may seem that you're being frivolous and spending your money on the advancement of the gospel. But in reality, if you look over the years' time, in 20, 30 years' time, you will see how God has richly blessed you beyond measure by your giving. There was a time where I had a quick return. I sowed $100 someone's life. And just several days later, someone sowed into my life $300. Does that always happen? No, it happens sometimes over periods of time and long lengths of time. At other times, it happens in many other ways. As you sow, you will reap. In the Old Testament, it talks about that one day that those who sow will overtake the reaper. And the reaper will overtake the sower. As you plant in one field and then plant in the next field, the sower is being overtaken by the reaper, and the reaper is moving and overtaking the sower. If you're continually sowing, there will be continual reaping. Now we will look at our final quote. And this is coming from the Talmud. This verse applies to the way of teaching Torah. Hillel, Talmud states, and Hillel was one of the ancient rabbis who was considered as one of the top rabbis in his times. excuse me, if you see that the generation is eager to study Torah, to spread out its teachings, the Midrash, comments on the Mishlei, if the generation is eager to learn and you refrain from teaching them, your Torah knowledge will diminish, for by teaching others, a person gains knowledge for himself or herself. Ral Bag also comments that the more one teaches others, the more one adds to one's own knowledge. As Rabbi states in the Makas, from my students I learned more than from anyone. An interesting aspect of scattering the seeds is going out and teaching others the Torah. There, we just talked about the natural. It also affects the spiritual. The more that we take the time to teach the others the fullness of the Torah, the whole Word of God, we become blessed ourselves, for we begin to learn more ourselves. The more we teach, the more we learn. The more we teach, the more we learn. We begin to become a true tzaddik, a Torah scholar. So we must search out those who God has wanted to place within our grasp to train them and teach them the Torah. On the other hand, in the natural, to be a blessing to others with what God has given us in surplus and beyond. Verse 25, a benevolent soul will grow fat, and one who sates, S-A-T-E-S, others, will himself be sated. Why would a soul grow fat? The soul that continually is taking in and taking in and taking in the Torah will become fat with the knowledge and the wisdom of God, because they're not allowing it to flow out of themselves into another person's life. And one who grows fat tends to be in poverty with the wisdom and the knowledge of the Torah. It takes the giving or sowing into others, it takes in the feeding of others. The Torah comes in and the Torah goes out. The Torah comes in, the Torah goes out. You remain healthy in the Torah. Your spiritual life is healthy. You don't become fat. You become an athlete that is a prized athlete, because you're continually exercising the aspects of taking in and putting out, taking in and putting out. Exercising the way of teaching the Torah like that doesn't allow the Torah to become stagnant within you and you become fat. And when you become fat, it is like the waters within a pool or pond that has no outlet. The water becomes stagnant, stinky, putrid. And I've seen ponds that the water comes in, but there's no outlet, and it becomes stinky, putrid on one side of the pond where all the stuff is gathering. So we must learn to give unto others what God is giving unto us. Because we learn then to give others and sate them or feed them, and then you will be satisfied as you satisfy others. Our commentary looks at Rabbi Metzudos. The verse refers to one who gives out his money very easily to help others, or one who wants others to have maximum good, who will himself enjoy good. So again, we have the idea that as we give in return, maximum good is brought to us. And we all get to enjoy the good. But now Rabbi Vilna Gaon goes on and says, hearing good tidings makes a person rejoice and his bones expand. Thus a person who constantly blesses others and desires their benefit, who is not jealous of their good fortune and therefore gladdens their hearts with his blessing, thereby fattens their bones. Therefore, he himself will grow fat. His trait is the opposite of jealousy, of which King Solomon states, jealousy is the rot of bones, in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 30. One aspect of growing fat is you are healthy to a point. I will disagree with Rabbi Vilna Gaon on the aspect that it is good fortune to grow fat and gladden your heart. I have learned within my own spiritual walk in Jesus Christ that the more that I give out of the Torah, the more that comes in, I don't become fat and stagnant, and I actually begin to grow at greater depths in my walk with Christ than if I was to hold it all in. There is great growth when fat. Our final quote on this verse comes from Rabbi Hirsch. Whoever heartens a languishing soul, as the rain moistens a parched field, feels in that moment an even greater freshness in himself, as if he himself were like rain. As rain waters the earth and the plants go up, they open up to receive the nourishing moisture of the rain. They take in what they need, which is what we should be doing with the Torah. Take in what we need. And then as you begin to continue to move forward, you begin to realize that the more you take in and the more that you give out, you begin to grow. You begin to grow. So bringing a sated soul or a satisfied soul, but one who is not fat. A fat person is unhealthy, whereas one who is where they should be for their weight is healthy. The same with the Torah in the knowledge and the wisdom. And the more that we give out and the more that we take in, the more we give out, we stay healthy. We don't become unhealthy and fat. Verse 26. One who withholds produce, the nation will curse him, but blessing will be on the head of a provider. There are people that will hoard the very essence of the sustenance needed to not only nourish their own bodies, but to nourish others. If not stored properly, insects, mold, and other things come to destroy what is hoarded. But if one was to turn around, instead of withholding the produce that brings a curse, but rather go out and bless others, then a blessing will be upon the head of a provider. Think of what we said and look at it both in the spiritual and the natural. This verse connects to the prior two verses. We can see that it is greater and better to give than it is to save and hoard the revelations that God has given you, or the financial and material resources that God has given you. From Rabbi Ibn Ezra and Rabbi Mitzudos, one who refuses to sell his grain when it is needed during a famine, for he is hoarding it, waiting for the price to go up, will be cursed by his nation. Very interesting analogy. One who hoards Torah knowledge to those who are in famine, because they desire for the price to go up, will find themselves cursed rather than moving forward. Jesus knew full well of this. That's why in Matthew chapter 28 and verses 19 through 20, he emphasized that we would go out there and train and teach all nations, all peoples, and disciple them in the Word of God so that they would be able to receive the truth and receive the salvation of the living God. Do not be fearful of speaking the word of God and the prosperity that salvation gives to one's soul in Jesus by taking away their sins. Lavish it upon them, for lavishing it upon them will guide them into the salvation of the living God, and they will be blessed beyond measure. Our next quote comes from Rabbi Rashi and Rabbi Relbag. They say that this refers to one who withholds his Torah knowledge and does not teach others. He or she is cursed for refusing to share the good that God bestowed upon him or her. The very words that I've been speaking. It is better to relish upon others and impose upon them the word of God and the Torah knowledge that you've learned so that you will not be cursed. Rather, you will be blessed. And our final quote on this verse, as grain is an essential food supply, so is Torah knowledge essential to the spirit. Hence, these items must always be available and dispensed as needed, never hoarded or saved for a more profitable time. Rabbi Eliyahu Lofian. Now, I find that this Rabbi Eliyahu has a very, very interesting statement here. Don't hoard it. Don't save it for a more profitable time. There are those who love to hoard the Torah knowledge. They look to seek to gain profit from it. Let's see, you want me to come and speak. Well, the cost of my knowledge for me to come and speak to you, it will cost you $10,000 for me to come. I know of some preachers out there that they won't even show up at your door unless you've got $100,000 laying out for them. They won't even darn your doors. They will not come into your churches unless you can lay out $100,000 to them. Oh, by the way, you also must take care of their travel costs, their food costs, and their lodging costs as well. When did a price get placed on the Word of God? I find that these preachers are living in the curse. There is a righteous amount of money for those that are giving out, but not in the extravagant, because they want to profit. They desire to profit from their knowledge of the Word of God. If we were to give out our knowledge, just as the grains give out nourishment to the body, we will be nourished as well. Verse 27. One who seeks good for others seeks God's favor, but he who searches out evil for others, it will come upon him. What an interesting verse after the prior few verses. One who seeks the good for others seeks God's favor. Why would we seek God's favor? We are to be like God. We are not God, but we are to be like God. God is the greatest giver that I have ever seen or known in my life. As I continue to seek the good for others and give unto others, I find that God's favor upon my life is greater than if I did not. And I know that there was a time in my life I did not, especially in my BC days. But he who searches out for evil for others, it will come upon him. I find that this is very, very true. The more that you desire to perpetrate evil, revenge, or anything upon another person, what you desire within your heart and think in your mind and even speak with your mouth, I would beware if you were, if I were you, I would beware. You must beware because it's going to come back at you. You cannot turn around and do what is in the place of God and not end up having the very same thing in your life that you desired upon another person. Our first quote is a combination from Rabbi Rashi and Rabbi Metzudos. One who seeks to direct others on the correct path and admonishes and rebukes them wants God to be pleased with them and be reconciled with them. One who seeks good for others will thereby find favor in God's eyes, and God will act favorably toward him or her. The more that you desire to move on blessing others with good, the more that favor of God will be upon your life. Rabbi Vilna Gaon applies this particular principle to man's relationship with God. When a person gives priority to observing the commandments which are called good, thus forgoing his or her personal desires in order to do those of God, God will fulfill his or her desires, as the Mishnah states, nullify your will before his will so that he will nullify the will of others before your will. Avos 2:4. What Rabbi Vilna Gaon is basically stating, the more that we fulfill the desire of God's heart toward others and performing the commandments to bless others, then you will be blessed. This is the very essence of the great and mighty second commandment, to love others as ourself. This is a pivotal aspect in which to truly love others as ourself, to seek the highest good for others. Our final quote comes from Rabbi Bacha. It is a lengthy quote. Rabbi Bacha explains that this verse instructs the person always to seek the welfare of others and never their detriment. For he or she will be repaid measure for measure. One who seeks good for his or her friend and prays on his or her behalf solicits God's favor, as the Talmud states he who prays for another and is in need of the same thing is answered first. Coming from Baba Kama 92A. And Kama is K-A-M-M-A. Going on with the quote, this happened to Job. For God restored his fortune because he had prayed for his friends. And that comes in Job chapter 42, verse 10. One who prays for others benefits himself or herself. As King David said, may my prayer return upon my own bosom, coming out of Psalm 35, verse 13. A leader has a special obligation to pray for his or her people. If he or she does not, he or she will be punished. On the other hand, someone who tries to bring harm upon his or her fellow will have that evil revert upon himself or herself, quote unquote. So we find that this is reciprocal in the very essence of what God is speaking to us. The more that we bless and do good to others, the more we will be blessed and find God's favor. On the other hand, if we endeavor to do evil, that evil will come upon us. And please do not get into karma. This is not karma. This is cause and effect. Cause and effect. Karma comes out of the Eastern religions, false religions, and you will find that karma is only a little bit of truth and a big lie. For karma does not always work. While God works with cause and effect, and that works all the time. And science itself validates God's cause and effect. Now we will go to verse 28. He who trusts in his wealth, he will fall, but the righteous will sprout like foliage. This is a very interesting verse. If you trust in your wealth, you're going to fall. Many in the stock market crash of 1929 trusted in their wealth. Suicide among the rich was very common during that year with the stock market crash. Some went to being worth millions upon millions to being absolute worthless, penniless. But the righteous will sprout like foliage. It is like springtime. As the spring rains move over the earth, the foliage begins to sprout up and to spread and to beautify the landscape. So it is with a righteous. A righteous person will sprout like the foliage and spread out. That can connect with these prior verses of spreading the Torah knowledge that you have. The more that you spread, the more you will sprout like the foliage. You will grow and grow. You won't be stagnant. Now our commentary, we will start with Rabbi Bacha. He says that this verse is connected to the preceding one. Usually a person who seeks harm for others is one who trusts too much in his wealth. As a result of his financial standing, he or she becomes haughty and harbors thoughts of evil and revenge. Therefore, he or she falls as a result of his or her wealth. It is easy to fall with your wealth. Now, wealth can mean monetary means, money, or it could be material, the goods that you own, or it could be spiritual, the very Torah knowledge that you have. So it is important that you do not utilize what you have to hoard it, to use it for evil toward others. Rabbi Yonah says, just as a leaf grows more quickly than the fruit and is fully developed in a short time, so too the righteous will be saved quickly from their troubles in reward for their trust in God. Because of his or her trust in his or her wealth, the person will suddenly lose it and fall, whereas the righteous who trust in God will be rescued swiftly from their distress. Now, I find that a little interesting that he uses the word distress. Let's use a more modern term, the drama in your life. As you walk the way that God has called you to walk, and you don't trust in your wealth, that as you continue to allow God to work in these things and trust God and not hoard the wealth, you will find yourself rescued swiftly from the drama in your life. That is a very interesting analogy to equate with what we're looking at here. Rabbi Vilna Gaon brings about the close of this verse. Riches are of primary importance to a wealthy man, but wealth is never stable, as the Talmud puts it. The Talmud is the oral law. The Talmud says in Shabbos 151b that wealth is a wheel that revolves in the world. Rabbi Vilna Rabbi Vilna Gaon goes on and says, once he or she loses his or her wealth, he or she himself or herself will topple, since wealth was his or her mainstay. To the righteous, however, wealth is but the leaf to a tree. That is, it is an insignificant part of the total picture. A leaf falls from the tree in the autumn, but it grows again in the spring. So too, even if the righteous fall like a leaf, they will flourish, quote unquote, from Rabbi Vilna Gaon. J.C. Penney is a very good example of flourishing in this manner. During his early part, and then came the stock market crash, he lost everything, penniless, absolutely nothing. And he decided to seek God and found out exactly what was going on. So then he began to tithe. And he tithed into missions. He restarted the J.C. Penney. The department store became to the place that there was at least one store in every state, and then grew from there. The company became to be known as worth billions of dollars at one point. Today it's not that way because some have sought to depart from the ways that J.C. Penney built the J.C. Penney company. So you can see the downward spiral that can be taken if one does not walk according to all that we've spoken today to be a blessing to others, whether it's imparting the Torah knowledge you have into their life or imparting some material blessing or financial blessing. As long as you don't remain stagnant and become fat within your life and allow the blessings of God to flow out of you, you will sprout like foliage. Your wealth will be in a place that you thought could never be surpassed. This is where the Torah knowledge, material wealth, and financial wealth should be placed. Don't hoard it. Don't stagnate yourself in it. Give it out. Give it out. And watch God bless. Next week, we will pick up with verse 29. We're almost out of time for today. And we should be able to finish this chapter and start the next chapter, since there are only three verses left to chapter 11. I'm still working on trying to get book number 2 covering chapters 16 through 31. I have something in mind. If we finish this book before I get book number 2, that would take us 10 weeks to cover and give me that additional time to get that book. It is available, but I'm getting it out of my own finances, and I'm looking to grab some overtime to be able to grab the book. And I will not have to get it from overseas. I can get it from a publisher, a Jewish publisher, in the Bronx of New York City, which is kind of nice. If you have any questions, please go to my Facebook page, David C. Allman. Make sure you see in parentheses, Pastor David C. Allman, with comma, SR for senior. As you post your questions, make sure you tag me so that I will readily see your questions, and I will answer them to the best of the moving of the Spirit upon my spirit. Let's close with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the impartation of your Spirit into our lives with the Torah knowledge and the wisdom of you, Lord God, that we should not allow ourselves to be stagnated, rather that we should be operating in the realm of being a blessing to each and every soul in the capacity that you have given us to bless others with. May you continually seal these words upon our heart and have your way with each one of us, that you would be glorified in each one of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Remember to assemble with the saints in the buildings that we call churches. Gather together this weekend and worship God together and hear the preaching and teaching of God's word, and to grow in the knowledge and the wisdom of the Lord God as you apply these things into your life. Be blessed, everyone, until next week.